The Portland Trail Blazers have won 4 of 5. Damian Lillard continues to go bonkers. Signing day comes and goes with not much news. And Brenna has a hair dryer story for the ages. All that and more coming up on the Sports by Northwest podcast. I am Aaron Fentress of the Oregonian and joined by Brenna Green, Coin reporter and anchor for Channel 6. Channel 6 Coin, Coin 6. You'd think I'd know that by now. Anyway,
I said last week that there was something that was stressing me out. It finally had a full circle moment after the podcast last week, and that's what we're talking about with the hair dryer story. Just for people who are like, "What in the world is going on?"
But we wanted them to like wonder the whole show.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't give away anything.
No, I'm not.
Okay, good.
All we're saying is that it has to relate to a certain object that should not stress anyone out ever, but it happened. There we go. Oh, okay,
also,
goodness.
we'll probably give you our two early Super Bowl picks. That's the show today.
So, Aaron, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's just been, very busy. A lot of things been going on the last couple of weeks, mainly with these Blazers, obviously. But we're going to start there. And all of a sudden, they've won 4 out of 5. And so those of us who remained optimistic somewhat, like me, are vindicated, at least for the moment, although I gave them no chance in HELL to win last night. But they did at the Grizzlies, a legitimate West contender. They went in there, won 122-112. And they did so with Nurkic going out in the first quarter, like 3 minutes into it with that calf injury. And then Jeremy Grant goes out in the second quarter with a concussion. Dame goes bonkers again. And they win 4 out of 5. That was their biggest win. I mean, they beat Dallas at home, but that was by far their biggest win since maybe early December. What do you make of this? Can we start thinking that maybe this team is turning it around? Or do we need to see more?
I need to see more. The Memphis game is a very good sign, okay? It's a very good sign. I will give them that. I think that's great. But if you look at the other teams that they've beat, the only one that's, really high-level competition is the Jazz, and I don't even know if they're technically, high-level.
500 team, that's, No, you're not going to give him credit for Atlanta because Trae Young wasn't there? You're not going to give him credit for Atlanta?
Yeah. That game was closer than it should have been with Trae not playing. I think that's fair. So did Luka play? He played the first one, not the second one.
Right.
There we go. Got it. Right. I know he didn't play in one game, but yeah, okay, there you go. This is a promising, encouraging sign. Do I think that they're not going to make any changes because of it? Absolutely not. I think changes are a coming, ladies and gents. I saw somebody float online last night. Is that the last time we're going to see Nurk in a Portland jersey? Are they just going to hold him out for the next week and see what happens? I think it's good, but I guess in some ways it's, if they are going to trade Nurkic, hey, you can basically go into Memphis and win without him. He only played for the first few minutes. So I guess that's,
well,
I guess
Steven Adams wasn't there too. Steven Adams wasn't there. For
yeah.
Memphis, so
that definitely a plays a role. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'd agree with that. So, I think it's good, but I still don't think this team is where it nearly wants to be at this point. And I think that changes are abound. So there you go. What do you think?
I've been waiting for this to happen for about a month now because they started the season hot. They came back down to earth. They got another ramp up. Then they came back down and they just stayed down for over a month. And I've been waiting for them to kick into gear, and winning 4 out of 5 is the start of that. But you're right. I mean, we have to see more because they were so bad for so long. They had a stretch where they lost, 9 out of 11 or something like that. They were losing to bad teams. They lost at home to Orlando, which I still can't believe. Imagine had they taken care of business against Orlando, the Lakers, and Toronto, 3 losing teams. Instead of being 25 and 26, now you're 28 and 23, and that would put you in the top 6. So that's how big those losses were. So in order to counteract that, you have to have big wins against good teams. Now, Utah, not great, but Utah ahead of them in the standings, still a good win. Atlanta, 500 teams, still a solid win. And then, of course, Memphis. But you're right. We have to see more. Like, they got this weekend, you have back-to-backs at Washington and Chicago, very winnable games. You win those two and come home having won five, or sorry, it'd be six out of seven then. Now it's like, okay, now maybe something's going on because you have five home games after that and you can end the first half, well, with the All-Star break coming up. So I'm at least feeling some positive vibes for what they're doing. But yes, we have to wait and see more before we buy completely in because they're still in 11th place, right? And last time I checked, in a 15-team conference, that's not a good thing.
Now, to be fair, you look at those Western Conference standings and boy, is it a real... It's a real good time in those Western Conference standings right now. I mean, I saw a graphic last night that was like, I mean, you look at it in the Western Conference, the Clippers right now are fourth at 29-25 and the Blazers are 11th at 25-26. So that's how
2.5 games from 4 to 11. Crazy.
It's, you know, this thing could flip and switch at any time. So thankfully the Blazers are in a good enough spot where if they are able to keep this, this streak prolonged, this, you know, what they're doing, they could move up those standings pretty fast. But it's, so I guess at least they're in the Western Conference where everyone still has a chance, it feels like, unless you're the Spurs or the Rockets, then you don't. But yeah. Everyone else, enjoy.
They're a game and a half out of sixth, and you can make that up in a heartbeat. And you look at teams who have fallen off. Zion gets hurt, and the Pelicans have lost 9 straight. They were first in the West. Now they're 10th, and only a half game ahead of the Blazers. Suns were number one at one point. They fell off. Is Booker back? I don't know if Booker's back yet, but when Booker comes back or if he's back, they're going to make a run and probably move back up. And someone up there in the top 4 or 5 is going to have another slide. Like Memphis actually lost 5 in a row going into the Blazers. Or 5 out of 6. 5 out of 6 going into the Blazers game. Now they've lost 6 out of 7. So things change quickly. And if Portland can continue this streak, then hey, you know, next week, by the time we talk again, they could be 5th for all we know. So we'll see.
Chaos. You want to know who's been chaos, but in a good way? Damian Lillard.
Oh my god.
Yeah, he's been the best kind of chaos if you're a Blazers fan. Now, if you're a fan of any of the 11 other NBA teams that he's played in the last 11 games, you might not be as much of a huge fan. But I mean, he can't miss. It feels like he literally had a 3-quarter shot last night. It didn't count. 3-quarters length shot last night. It didn't count. But that's the kind of time he is having right now.
He had a very awful stretch there during a lot of the losing where he was pretty mediocre for Damian Lillard, actually for anybody. And I remember there's some fans on Twitter going, he's not playing well anyway, blah, they need to trade him. I'm like, what are you talking about? And he just sort of, you know, even stars go through these ups and downs just like teams do. And you're just sort of waiting for him to catch fire again. And 11 games ago, he began a stretch where he's been averaging 38 points per game. In the last 4 games, he's averaging 43. Obviously, he had that 60-point night. But he's just been ridiculous from all over the floor. And the way the move he put on Dylan Brooks last night, I had to watch it like 6 or 7 times to determine if it was traveling or not. Because it was just the way he spun, landed on one foot, but kept his pivot and then came back as Dylan went by him. I'm just like, that's not legal. And then I had to watch it over again. Like, I think he maintained his pivot foot. That's how sweet the move was. And then the way he's getting to the basket. And then, of course, his shooting from outside has just been ridiculous. I think he's shooting 45% on threes the last 4 games or something ridiculous like that. But yeah, he's playing like an MVP, which they have to have him be that kind of guy because this is not a team loaded with a bunch of stars. So he seems determined to put this team on his back when he needs to. And that's been quite often because they were struggling and he was struggling. So having him back at this level makes them a threat against anybody. And when you're playing a team that has someone like John Morant, you better be able to counter that with a star and playing like a star. And they did that. And of course, Anthony Simons had a good game as well. The bench produced 36 points, which they're only averaging 24 per game, which is like last in the NBA. Now, some of that production comes because they played more minutes because Grant and Nurkic were out and Eubanks gave you 11 and 11. But regardless, those guys stepped up and played well. So the fact that Damian is doing what he's doing makes them a threat every night. And that's if he keeps it up, I think they can continue these winning ways and get into that top six, maybe before the All-Star break. Maybe.
I guess I just hope that that it's not a situation where the team is like, oh, well, he's going to have 35 every night, because that's just not realistic, you know, and you can't.
It's not.
You can't.
He averaged 34.5 in January.
I know. I'm aware. But there's going to be a night where he doesn't have a good night. I mean, that's just the way it works in basketball. So I just hope that the team doesn't become too reliant on it, because they really need to figure out who scorer number two is on this team and have it be consistent.
Yeah. Well, Billups has talked about that. And one of his goals when he took over the franchise a couple of years ago was that he didn't want as much of a burden placed on Damian. And he wanted to accomplish that by creating more ball movement, attacking the paint more, getting more paint touches. And so that if Dame takes, you know, a deep three, it's with 5 seconds on the shot clock, not with 20 seconds on the shot clock. But that, that has worked and paid off in some respects. Earlier in the season, Dame wasn't hunting for his shots as much, and they started out 9-3. And so on some nights, he will do that. He'll come out and sort of see what's needed of him. But lately, he's been deciding that what's needed of him is to just establish right away that he's got to score. And when he does that early, that prevents them from having the awful starts that were killing them. I did an article on this. They were 5-9 in the month of January. Like, they finished 6-9 after beating Atlanta. And in those nine losses, they were only averaging 24 points per game in the first quarter and just shooting horribly and then falling behind. Even against bad teams like Detroit, they fell behind early. Orlando, they fell behind early. Detroit, they came back. Orlando, they couldn't. The Lakers jumped out to a 30-7. No, wait. Toronto jumped out to a 30-7 lead. The Lakers jumped out, I think, to an 18-2 or 18-4 lead. Now, they bounced back from that and then folded late. But the point was, they were getting off to these bad starts. Well, if Dame comes out and Dame scores 10 or 12 points in the first quarter, guess what? You're probably not going to have a bad start. So he alone can cure that problem. But you're right. I mean, they need it. I mean, Anthony obviously has nights like he did last night. Grant has nights. But they've fallen off a little bit in terms of their consistency. They were killing it. When Damian was injured, I think they both averaged right around 28, 29 a game. Like, they really established themselves as like, okay, we can carry the load offensively. But when Dame's in the lineup, there's sort of like a unsure which one of those guys is going to have a good night. Usually it's not both. So they do need to try and figure that out. And maybe they'll do that with a trade. Who knows? But man, Dame's just on fire. You're right. He's not going to average 35 a game the rest of the season. But I bet he averages 30. And I bet he picks his spots where he's going to drop 40s on people.
And that's fun. I mean, he's obviously going to make the All-Star game. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's good. It's just good to see Dame back to being Dame. It feels like he made a mention that, you know, one of the things that he just never felt like he was 100% the last few seasons. And right. Now he finally feels that way. And you can really see that it's true. It's absolutely the case. He's right. You know, I feel like he's on another level than what he's been in the last few years. And so I'm glad he took that time and got himself right. And I think Blazers fans are happy about that as well. So
he warned about it too. He kept telling people, I know what it's going to look like. Because some people wrote him off. And I remember last year, I'm like, it's obvious he doesn't look right. How can we write him off? He's getting old. He was 31. He's not old. Let's see what happens when he fixes this injury. And he warned. He kept saying, I know what it's going to look like. I know what I'm going to be. And he's that and more. Now, as good as he is, however, he is not going to win you a championship or put you in contention by himself. Not even with Simons and Grant playing at a high level. They need some moves. Personally, trade deadline coming up February 9th. Just get anyone 6'8 or taller
who has some athleticism,
can play some defense. Because this team is just too little. You just see it against certain matchups where, I mean, your best player is 6'2". Simons is 6'3". Then you're starting Hart at the small forward. He's about a little bit over 6'4". Then you got Payton coming off the bench at 6'2". Shaedon Sharpe's listed as 6'5". Finally, he was listed as 6'6" for a while. He's not 6'6". He's 6'4 and a half. That came out of his own mouth. So that's five guys in your rotation, 6'4 and a half or shorter. Then you get to Winslow, who's out, but he's 6'6". You get to Nasir, who's 6'5". So that's seven guys in your rotation, 6'6 or smaller. Then you finally get to Grant at 6'8". That gives you impact play. And then you got Nurkic, when he's healthy, 6'11". After that, Eubanks is hit or miss at 6'9". Trenton Wofford is a youngster. Jabari is a youngster. They're all tall, but, you know, if they're playing a bulk of the minutes against veteran guys of the same size, you're just in trouble. So they need guys in the 6'7", 6'8 range who are long, who can defend, who obviously can hit the three. And I know everyone wants those guys. They're not just out there to be picked up, you know, like at a used car lot or something. But this team needs size and length. And the trade deadline's coming up. Everyone's been talking about Josh Hart could be the guy to go because there's a mutual option on his contract. He's making about 12. He's probably going to not pick that up, so he's going to be a free agent. Do you want to pay him 18 to 20 to keep him? I don't know if you do. So they're probably going to maybe look to move him. Some people want Nurkic traded. I don't know if they can trade Nurkic with his contract. He has 3 years left. Who out there really wants him unless you're sweetening it up with some picks? And you're only going to trade him if you get back a center of equal or greater value, but maybe presents a different set of skills. Eubanks, as we saw last night, can do things athletically that Nurkic can't. It kind of changes that dynamic of your offense. But you can't, if you play Eubanks for 35 minutes a night, he's going to get exposed against a lot of teams. So can you get someone of that style, but better? Who's giving up that guy? Whoever has that guy is probably not giving that guy up, right? So it's kind of a catch-22. But what's your take on what this team needs, and do you think they're going to make a splashy move or just a little tinker move before the deadline on the 9th?
I definitely agree with you in terms of the height. it's pretty glaring and obvious, and it just needs to happen. I don't know how you get it. I don't know who you go after, but it's just you got to try. You got to try at the very least to make something happen there. Now, do I expect there to be some huge move that involves the Blazers? No, I do not. At least, you know, some move that's headlining SportsCenter. No, I don't think so. This franchise has historically never been that, and I don't know why that would change now. So, you know, that's
unfortunately just kind of... They were that last year. Oh, wait, they were giving away the guy. Never mind, sorry. They were trading away talent, not getting talent. My bad. Never, go ahead.
Yeah. So, I think that is something to, you know, I think historical context is important here. And traditionally, the Blazers have not been that team making a big time trade. So I think it would be great if that happened. But I can't expect that. At this point, I just can't. Unfortunately, the Blazers are also a team that has never made a huge free agent signing. So, what are we going to do here? Yes, yes. If you're watching on YouTube, my cat just made an appearance.
looking for some screen time.
I'm surprised that he has it. Made more of an appearance over the last few episodes, to be completely frank with you. So if you ever hear a meow, that's him. I don't expect anything huge come February 9th, but, you know, I hope to be pleasantly surprised. What about you?
Well, obviously what has to happen is that there has to be a team out there looking to dump a really good player in their contract because they're looking to start over, or they're trying to clear the runway, so to speak, for someone else, sort of like the Blazers did last year when they traded CJ and cleared the runway for Ant, moved that contract. CJ had, you know, $66 million, I think, remaining 2 years ago. And then, of course, they got a pick out of that trade exception. They turned into Grant, et cetera, which worked out because there was a situation where you basically flip CJ into a 6'8" guy, which is what you need more of. So I keep looking at different teams in the NBA and trying to think, okay, who won is going to give up winning to make a move like that in such a deep draft. And the problem is, like you talked about with the West, there's so many teams still in the mix for the playoffs. Who's really going to bag it? So if someone bags it, they're going to be bagging it a couple games out of the play-in, or even a few games out of the playoffs. So how many teams are going to be willing to do that so blatantly? Utah's one that a lot of people think, well, because they came into the season not expecting to win. And then all of a sudden, Lowry Marketing turns into an all-star, right? So do they decide, well, we need to pack it in. We're going to move someone. I don't know. We'll see. But they're not going to move Lowry. He's an all-star caliber player making like $16 million. So I look in the East, and even in the East, you know, there's a greater separation from the top six to the 11 through 12, unlike in the West. But, you know, the Bulls are five games out of the playoffs, but only a half game out of the play-in. Would they move DeRozan? Would DeRozan fit what Portland needs, or is he just another scorer? Do you even need a scorer? He's not a good defender, so he gives you more scoring, which you don't really need, and he doesn't play defense. Mm-hmm. Toronto, now the perfect guy out there would be OG.
It's OG.
6'7", wing, athletic, who can shoot the three. Not elite level, but he can shoot it, and he would definitely improve the defense. I mean, imagine going Dame, Ant, OG, Grant, Nurkic. You're going to be way better defensively. You're going to be way more athletic, but they want a lot. Now, it could literally take Simons, or it could take a package surrounding Sharp. Apparently, the Knicks have three first-round picks on the board. I would do that in a heartbeat. Personally, I'm not a big draft pick guy, especially when you're trying to win. Take all my draft picks. Just give me veteran good players who can help me win now. You can have all the draft picks you want. So I would give up three first-round picks in a heartbeat. If the Knicks are able to pull that off, good for them. But that, to me, is like the perfect guy because the Raptors are 23 and 30. I imagine they're going to start tanking any minute. If I were them, I would, because you're already close to the bottom five anyway. You might as well go ahead and trade someone like him. Sit Siakam here and there. He's going to have a calf and then an ankle and then a whatever. you got a top five pick. But, you know, can the Blazers get him? Now, the Blazers were talking to Toronto about him prior to the draft. They're trying to use the seventh pick, but Toronto wanted more, and the Blazers weren't willing to give up more. And now that they have Sharp, they know what the seventh pick is, they're not going to move Sharp for OG. That I don't think they're going to do that. So that may be a situation where that's the perfect guy, but you don't have what it takes to get him, which is unfortunate.
At the very least, it's going to be an interesting next few days. That's because if the Blazers don't make any moves, that's interesting. If the Blazers do make moves, that's interesting. So right. No matter what, we're going to have takes. It's just going to depend on what kind of takes we're talking about here.
Good or bad, we're going to have takes.
You want to know something?
That's enough about the Blazers.
You want to know something I don't have much of a take about anymore? February signing day. There's just not much happening, y'all. I literally woke up yesterday and was like, Oh, yeah, it's signing day. That's a thing. And when it comes to football, almost everybody commits in December now. It's so rare to have a February signing day athlete, to the point where Oregon State did not sign anyone yesterday that was a class of 2023 person. You know, you can talk about transfers if you want to talk about transfers and all that sort of stuff. It's kind of a separate category to me. Oregon did sign one guy yesterday in Roderick Pleasant, DB out of Sarah High School in California. Normally a pretty good high school for football. He's going to play both football and, well, I guess you don't say play track and field, but he's going to be on the track and field team too. And he'd mentioned in the press that was something that really intrigued him about Oregon, was the possibility of playing high level football and competing on, you know, historically great track and field team. So you get that guy, but other than that, you know, they also lost somebody yesterday. So yeah, Aaron, what are your thoughts on this February signing day period?
Well, the big name out there that people were wondering about is is it Nicholas or Nichols Harbor? I'm gonna go with Nichols. I think. Nichols
okay. All right. Okay.
Anyway, Nick Harbor. Athlete, edge or tight end, or whatever, five-star kid. He's ending up going to South Carolina, his original team, or he was committed to them going into the final signing period. They almost said the Blazers. The Ducks were trying to flip him. They had a good shot. There were some predictions out there that he actually would flip, but he did not. So they missed out on him. But still, they end up with what, the top 10 class. Let's see, they're ninth ranked on 24/7, eighth ranked in the composite. So, hey, that's nothing to sneeze at. What amazes me, though, is 29 recruits total and then 10 transfers is my count, give or take. So that's about 40 kids. There's only 85 scholarships available. Now, I know there's some COVID scholarships and things like that that are being carried over and, you know, mess with the numbers. But to add 40 new guys, that's a two deep almost. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see how the competition plays out that first year. How many of these freshmen are going to play right away versus be stashed and developed, which is why I think it's going to happen, because there is a lot of good returning talent on this team. But for Dan Lanning's first full recruiting class, you know, the only thing you can really say is that it sucks they lost Dante Moore, the quarterback who flipped to UCLA. That could sting if he turns out to be great. But I'm of the mind that in this day and age of the transfer portal and NIL, that Oregon is going to always be in a good position to go out and steal a proven or semi-proven quarterback, just like they did with Bo Nix last year, and be able to be fine at quarterback regardless of what happens with the high school kids. But still, had they nailed him, now you're looking at maybe a top five class, and you have your guaranteed quarterback in the future. I say maybe because Ty Thompson was a five-star kid and he struggled to see the field. But overall, hey, Dan Lanning, gold star, did a great job.
There we go. Signing day. Dusted. Done and dusted.
All right, real quick, before we get to this hair dryer tale. Oregon Hoops, like the Blazers, have won four of the last five. They lost to Stanford. I still can't believe they lost that game. But they got Arizona on Thursday night, a team they defeated at home to start this run of 4-5, I believe. They need as many big wins as possible. They probably need to win the Pac-12 tournament to have a shot to get into the NCAA tournament. Revenge game for the Wildcats. You have any takes on this team, or is it just like the Blazers were just kind of waiting and seeing if they can actually pull themselves out of the hole they dug for themselves?
I mean, they kind of have some similarities in the Blazers in the fact that this Oregon team was just so injured to start the season, like just unreal. Honestly, I think that they were way more injured than what Oregon was. At one point during the PK85 tournament, they were playing walk-ons like in their rotation. Like this wasn't like, we stuck them in for the final 5 minutes of the game. No. They were playing because they had no one. So they're finally back to full-ish health now. Mm-hmm. So that's good. This Oregon team does not like this Arizona team. That was kind of made a little clear. Especially one Kerr Crissa. That was the person that Infali Dante had that huge dunk against during the last game that like went pretty viral. And he said post game that Kerr was chirping a little bit. So, you know, he decided to let him know, I guess. So there's no love lost between these two teams. So hopefully it's a fun game in that regard. This Arizona team, I'm sure, is going to come out fired up. I know some people around that program, not that I've talked to them or anything, but, you know, because of the plethora of Gonzaga connections on that team, I know some people around that program, and I can't imagine some of those people were necessarily thrilled about everything about the comments post game. Not that they were inflammatory by any means, but you know, you can create
they were sticking it to him a little bit.
Yeah. You can create locker room fodder out of it. Let's put it that way. But I think you're right that Oregon's going to have to win the Pac-12 tournament. Now, do I think it's actually? Who knows? It might actually be possible for them to do it if they get on a nice streak towards the end of the season, just because college hoops this year is a cluster. So anybody can lose on any given night. That's evidenced by Arizona, who's number five in the country right now, losing to Oregon. And I mean, UCLA is also not completely invincible. They lost to USC. Last week. So we'll see what happens. I don't think it's likely, but I think it's plausible. It's too bad because, I mean, this Oregon team came into the season in the top 25. So it's not like they're lacking talent. They're not. They just haven't been able to quite make everything sing, whether it be due to injuries or, these guys haven't been playing together or guys just not putting their best foot forward out on the floor. I mean, I know Dana Altman was so stressed out about it after they lost a game. He ended up just driving down I-5 because he couldn't. He was like, I need to figure out what's wrong with this team. I can't figure it out. Like, he's like, I just got in the car and started driving. I didn't know where I was going to. I just started going because I was just so like upset. So it is a bit of a disappointing situation for them that they've put themselves in this position, but it's a hole that they might be able to dig out of. You just have to make sure you're getting hot while you're digging out of it. So.
Well, I need to see more before I don't care, but if I'm interested, I need to see more from them because this is not yes. like a Dana Altman team. But although winning 4 out of 5, you know, they're starting to rally a little bit. That typically is how a Dana Altman team operates, but we'll see. So in more exciting local college basketball news.
Yes.
You saw someone break a record. We talked about her last week.
Yeah. On Saturday, Alex Fowler broke the record at UP for scoring. She needed 10 points. She got exactly 10 points with about 3 minutes left. She got it at the free throw line, which we were all joking. We're like, yay, a record broken at the free throw line.
That's what Damian did.
Everybody knows that's like the. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It happens. It happens, you know, whatever. What was funny is that post game. So I'd sidelined the game before, but I did not sideline that game. In post game, she said, I didn't know until somebody told me at the game on Thursday. And I go, wait, was that me? And she was like, yeah, I didn't know until our post game interview that I was 10 points away from the record.
So Alex Fowler wasn't keeping track.
So She says she wasn't. I believe her. She was. I mean, if you look back at the interview, you can see that she's kind of like, now that I know that, I just thought she was kind of just blown away at like, wow, I'm about to break this record. But now you can see that she's like, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know it was that close. And she said that she, the night before, may have overthought it a little bit, which was kind of evident. She didn't have her best game on Saturday. And then it was funny because there were a few times where she could have gone up with it and she ended up passing it. And she said that she got in trouble with the coaching staff over it because they wanted to get her out of there. They're like, can you just please shoot? Because the team they were playing had 9 points at half. They were going to beat that team. Okay. Yeah, it was not pretty. So yeah, 9 points in the first half of the game. So anyways, that was kind of funny, but you know, I think if this was a guy at UP, it would probably be getting a little bit more press, to be completely frank with you. But Alex deserves her roses, like I said on the last, you know, podcast, and what she's done has been really remarkable. With especially since, as I just touched on, she's not somebody who is constantly looking out for her. She's passing the ball a lot, and she talked about how important that was to her post game. Just being able to remain true to herself and how important it is for her to be somebody who plays defense and someone who can be a good passer and all that sort of thing. I mean, how that's a really important part of her game to her. So
yeah, she led the team with four.
It's really impressive what she's doing. And what'd you say?
I said she led the team with four assists that night, even though she had a record on the books. They were 32-9.5 against Loyola Marymount. Wow.
Yeah, it was, not the most thrilling affair. but yeah, kudos to Alex. And, definitely. You know, she does have another year of eligibility, so she could really blow that record out of the water if she decides to come back next year. Definitely. Yeah. Oh yeah. If she comes back for another year, nobody's ever going to touch that record ever, 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 ever. So.
Okay.
We'll see what happens.
So now let's get to this,
oh boy.
This dryer story before our Super Bowl. Our two early Super Bowl picks. We want to talk about this dryer. So I remember you saying last week was that your mom bought you an expensive hair dryer.
Yes.
Like a few hundred bucks, right?
Which no, it was more than that.
More than that?
Yes. All right. If anybody's listening.
Can you tell your mom my birthday is April 18th?
I know, right?
Since she likes buying expensive gifts.
Oh my gosh. She's never bought me anything this expensive in my life.
So what was the number?
Okay. Well, that's where part of this gets interesting. So,
okay. All right, go ahead.
Okay. So first of all, anybody listening to this who actually knows me as a person knows that I would never ask for a hairdryer that is retail $450 for my birthday. I love you, Mom. Thank you for doing that for me. That's very kind of you. Okay. I was completely stunned and a little like, okay, all right, okay, you know, about it. I think maybe a few years before I had mentioned that, oh, those Dyson hair dryers look really nice or something like that. That is the extent of anything I've ever said to her about a Dyson hair dryer. So anyways, I when I get home, I look up, what's a return policy on this thing? Because I want to use this.
You're thinking about the cash, right?
Well, and I'm also like, I want to use this and see like if this actually is worth the money. Okay. So I find out it's a month. So I'm like, all right, great. I'll use this for a month and make my decision. Okay. Well, I used it for a month and I decided this really isn't, you know, this is not $450 special. Okay. Meanwhile, I found out that she bought it on Amazon and she actually bought it for cheaper than what it normally is for $388, which I was like, okay, all right, okay, cool. So this is where things take a turn, okay? So I'm looking on the box and I'm noticing that, you know, because you know how hair dryers come with like different attachments and stuff?
Mm-hmm. So, no, I don't, but okay.
Okay, you wouldn't. Okay, well, there you go. There's like different nozzles that fit on the hair dryer.
Okay.
And I'm putting everything away. I mean, I kept everything in this box down to like the little twisty ties that it came, that went around the cord when it came in. And I kept it in a very specific part of my room. So I'm like, oh my gosh, one of these attachments that's on the box just isn't in here. This is so weird. And I'm like, okay, did my cat like play with it around the apartment? And now I just can't find it anywhere. My apartment is completely clean. What is going on? What is happening? Okay. I spend all night searching my apartment for this attachment. Cannot find it anywhere. I'm freaking out because I'm like, this is a lot of money. Like if I return this without an attachment, I'm not going to get what I want. I'm not going to get the money back. Okay.
Right.
So I got to the point where I was going to drive to a Best Buy in Gresham to buy this attachment to put into the packaging so that I could just send it back still. Cause the attachment was $40. I was like, well, whatever, you know, it's fine.
Makes sense.
So I call my mom finally and I'm like, I cannot find this. I don't know where it is. I'm losing my effing mind. I'm losing it over this. She's like, okay. She's like, let me go look at the Amazon order. So she goes, looks at the Amazon order. She's like, there's only 4 attachments pictured on this order. And I'm like, oh, thank God. Thank God. I'm like, wow. I just stressed this much out about something where there wasn't a 5th attachment, which there was also like a place for the attachment in the packaging and everything. So I was totally thrown off trying to find this thing. And then as I'm packing stuff up, I have this moment of complete and utter clarity where I'm looking at the packaging and I realize nowhere on here does it say Dyson. And then I go and look at the screenshot my mom sent me of the order. Nowhere on there does it say Dyson. In fact, it says brand colon generic or general, one of the two. And it's out, and it's not being sold currently online. Then I go and I look at the like instructions and I see that it is spelled hair dryer on there. So my mom, what? For my birthday, got duped by some company overseas selling fake Dyson hair dryers. Whatever. Yeah, they have like this thing called an air wrap. So I was getting that confused as well. Anyways. So yeah, selling fake Dyson blow dryers on Amazon. My mother got. And that's why she paid $388 for this thing.
Did she search for Dyson and then Amazon gave her alternates? Because sometimes you have to go into the filter and specifically say what brand you want. I hate it when Amazon does this. Do you think that's what happened? Is that why she thought she was buying Dyson?
I don't know. I think she probably did. Yeah. Anyways, she's not very happy about it. And I guess like her friend was like, well, you could just get the Amazon credit back right now. She's like, I don't want the Amazon credit. I want that money. I'm pissed off.
Is she going to use Amazon again? If she's going to use Amazon again, it's like having money.
Yeah, I know. But I think that that's a lot of money. $388 on Amazon. That's a lot of money to be spending on Amazon anyways. I don't think she's buying that much on there. As somebody who, I got a free Echo at work once. Or I don't know, Alexa, I guess, whatever. Anyways, so I'm on my mom's Amazon Prime account. Mm-hmm. So I get notifications when she gets stuff delivered for her at the house. So I can tell you that she's not spending $388 on Amazon Prime in a year. Okay. Gotcha. I can justify that. She's probably like, if she's listening to this, she's going to be like, I can't believe you told this story, A. And now I know that you know every time I get something delivered. Awesome. Mom, I can't see what it is. I just know that something has been delivered for Danae. Okay. That's all I know. So anywho.
The lesson here though, for people listening, is that, because this frustrates me. Like I just said, I'll search for something and it'll give me sometimes at the top alternatives. And if you don't look at the brand, you might be thinking, oh, I'm looking at what I searched for, but you're not. So then you have to go into the filter and it'll show just the brands that fall into the category. Like I'm looking at shoes. You have to click which brand you want and then it'll give you the list of just that brand. But even then, after a few of the ones you were looking for, they'll slip in some other ones. So you just have to be careful because that drives me bananas. If I want Cole Haan shoes, which I'm addicted to because they're so comfortable, I don't want to see ads or, you know, ads basically for other brands. I want to see only Cole Haan. That's it. So it sounds like your mom probably searched Dyson hairdryer. This thing popped up. She saw the price, probably thought it was a Dyson because that's what she searched for. Oh, this is a great deal. Clicked it, bought it, came to you. And what did the box say anything on it? What did it say?
It had no branding for Dyson on it whatsoever.
Wow.
So, yep. There you go. Yeah. Don't get got by Amazon.
Don't get got.
I mean, you know, I think another lesson for this is that she's definitely going to hear about this. But, you know, if it's not explicitly asked for at that price, maybe we don't.
But as a parent, so you're not a parent yet though. So as a parent,
I know.
I have three kids. If they express interest, that's the whole point of a present. Like a present is supposed to be something that they wouldn't normally buy.
A few years ago,
you
though,
get it for them, and it's like, huh?
A few years ago, though.
You know, it probably stuck in her head. I know if times with my
her
kids,
intentions were good.
In something, then yeah, her intentions were pure. They were very motherly. Or yeah. Maybe she was just saying something about how you fixed your hair. Ta-da, bump.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe that's it. Maybe it's it. I know what really sparked it because I was complaining one day about how I felt like my hair was big or something like that.
See?
And so she was like, oh, yes, I'll get, you know, whatever. And yeah. So anyways, the best laid plans.
Yep. All right. Let's close real quick with Super Bowl matchup reaction to the weekend. Two early Super Bowl picks. We got the Eagles against Kansas City. The Andy Reid Bowl. Andy Reid fired by the Eagles many years ago, then went and won a Super Bowl finally after so many years of coming close with Philadelphia. They were contender almost every year he was there. Fell off his final year. They fired him, and then very rarely does a team fire a coach that's successful, hire another coach and then win a Super Bowl. But they did with Peterson and then fired him. And now they're back in the Super Bowl with another coach. Andy Reid won a Super Bowl with Kansas City, and he's back in the Super Bowl for the third time facing his former team. I can't remember. I used to be a huge Super Bowl aficionado, and I kind of lost my mojo the last 10 years. But I can't remember if a coach has ever gone to the Super Bowl and faced a team that fired them. I can't think of any. So this might be one of a kind. Anyway, what do you think?
Right now, I'm giving Philly the edge. But, I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm a little suspect about that high ankle sprain on Pat Mahomes, okay?
He was limping a little bit, but he's going to be better in 2 weeks.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, did he really have a high ankle sprain?
Oh, you're going there?
Yeah. I don't know, man. He looked a little too good in a way for that. But, you know, whatever. Yeah, I think I have to go with Philly right now. They've just been so consistent this year. But okay. I like the Chiefs as well. I think it's going to be a good game, which is better than the game the Eagles played in on Sunday. So
I'm leaning KC. I think Reed's going to have some stuff dialed up for them, and they got the better quarterback. Hurt is nice, but, you know, Mahomes is better. But one thing that struck me watching Mahomes and Burrow go at it again, they played against each other last year in the postseason, is just how deep and rich the QB talent pool is in the AFC right now. Mahomes, mm-hmm. Burrow, Herbert obviously still developing, Lawrence still developing, Josh Allen's already a star. You still got Lamar Jackson, who's had a couple off years, but is a former MVP. Like, wow. I just feel like we're going to see so many great playoff matchups between that group over the next 10 to 12 years. It's going to be fascinating. And that's going to be a hard group for, you know, Herbert to break through on. Like, he's got his work cut out for him in that group of quarterbacks to sort of elevate himself to that level and win, you know, when you have to probably 1 year, he might have to go through both of them. Or two of those guys to get to the Super Bowl. But man, the AFC is stacked at quarterback. NFC still has some good quarterbacks, not quite as stacked in terms of the younger set. But man, I'm excited. I mean, I remember the era of, you know, Marino, Elway, and how they battled out. So to have an era like that sort of similar, and of course, Peyton Manning and Brady and Roethlisberger, that era is gone now. But yeah, I'm excited for that. So I'm leaning Chiefs right now. In part because I want to see the coach get revenge on the team that fired him. I think that's a great storyline.
The new era of quarterbacks it kind of feels like it's officially ushered in with Tom retiring. So this is an exciting time in the NFL, and it's time for some fresh blood.
We got to get Rodgers out of there. Rodgers needs to retire. he's the lone old dude holding on. He's got to go.
Yeah.
Because he's a Packer and I'm a Bears fan, so I want him gone. Anyway, we'll have our official Super Bowl picks next week. We'll dive more into it. Blazers big weekend, Washington and Chicago. Then they've got a 5-game homestand starting next week. They got Milwaukee, Golden State, Lakers on that homestand. That's going to be tough. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
I think we're all good.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening to the Sports by Northwest podcast. Please leave us a positive rating and tell your friends, subscribe, etc. And we'll be back next week.